My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here we are during Easter season, and today the gospel brings us back to the episode just after the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And the gospel we hear today is the beginning of the bread of life discourse. So what is the connection between the resurrection that we are focusing on in this time of Easter and this bread of life discourse, and in particular, today's gospel? What we have here is a teaching moment where the Lord is correcting the crowd, in a sense. The crowd, as our Lord tells them, is looking for Jesus because they want to have their bellies filled. Now, in the verses just before today's reading, actually it's alluded to here in brackets, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. So we know that, we the readers of the gospel or the hearers of the gospel. However, the people who had been on the other shore and saw, well, the disciples left in the boat, but Jesus didn't, and now we can't find him. They go looking for him. They don't know that he walked across the sea to get to Capernaum, which is yet another sign. They have seen the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, but they missed the point. They missed the point of the sign. And so when they ask him this rather unenlightened question, they're just trying to figure out, how did he get there before we got here? We left in a boat. We didn't see him leave. Rabbi, when did you get here? He doesn't even address their question. He just goes straight to the point. Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And then he tells them, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. They have come looking for Jesus as the provider of bread, and they want to make him a king for material reasons. But Jesus is telling them something here that relates to the resurrection. He does not say, he implies that he's not trying to discourage them. I mean, they've come looking for him, which is a good thing, but for the wrong reason. And so he's encouraging them, he's telling them to work for the food that endures for eternal life. That's what you should be focused on, not these material concerns. And then they ask an intelligent question. What can we do to accomplish the works of God? And Jesus tells them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Now, in this bread of life discourse, there's a reference, of course, to the Exodus from Egypt, the land of slavery, and the passage across the desert to the promised land. And the promised land is a metaphor and a symbol of the eternal life. And so Jesus, they do not hear, but in the verses just immediately following this passage, ask for a sign. They say, what sign can you show us? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. And so even here, we see that they're still concerned about food in a certain sense, but they're beginning to get that there's a spiritual component here. And in fact, they are still in the desert, and in a certain sense, so are we. And so our Lord is telling us to work, yes, work, but for food that endures for eternal life. And so we must work, but our work should be directed and ordered to eternal life. And then our Lord has given us the answer. What we have to do is believe in the one who sent him, or believe that God the Father did send him. And of course, the resurrection is the greatest of the signs that Jesus is the divine Son of God. They've come looking for a king. They want to make him the king. And in fact, he is the king. And so far, so good. But they want him on their terms. And that's the problem still today, that people want Christ on their terms, not his. And so really now, the work is not only to believe that Christ is the king, but to surrender to him, to surrender to his priorities, to his values, which are for eternal life and not for material concerns. So, brothers and sisters, in this time of Easter, let us be not like those in the first reading who are attached to old ways and to the point where, rather than surrender to the wisdom that Stephen demonstrates for them, they prefer to use their attachment to an outmoded law as an excuse to kill Stephen, since they can't withstand the wisdom and aren't ready to be converted. And still to this day, the world is filled with this spirit of refusal to accept the truth that Christ came to bring us. But our Lord died for that truth, to give us life, and so did many apostles and saints and martyrs like Saint Stephen that we hear of today. Let us attempt then, with the help of Our Lady, to see any attachment to old ways in ourselves that are not the ways of Christ, even our good intentions, if they are not Christ's intentions and in his spirit, for instance, of mercy. We can insist on many righteous things, but if we don't have the spirit of mercy in our hearts, and if our words are true but not animated by charity, then there's something missing, and we have still work to do to surrender. And our belief, the belief that saves, is really proven when we surrender our wills to that of Christ. The Blessed Virgin Mary can help us become perfect in this way, and she will if we just entrust ourselves to her. So in this month of May, it's the perfect time to ask Our Lady to help us surrender to Christ. Praise be Jesus and Mary.